Morning Watch, Day 4. Knowing the truth, being absolute for the truth, and for upholding the absoluteness of the truth, and testifying to the truth in the present age of the world, Week 1. Related Verses. 3 John 3. For I rejoiced greatly at the brothers' coming and testifying to your steadfastness in the truth, even as you walk in truth. Colossians 3:1. If therefore you were raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Colossians 1:27. To whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. 2 Corinthians 3:5-6. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to account anything as from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, ministers not of the letter but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. 1 Timothy 6:14-16. To keep the commandment spotless, without reproach, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in its own times the blessed and only Sovereign will show, the King of those who reign as kings, and Lord of those who rule as lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and eternal might. Amen. Related Reading. The truths in the Holy Scriptures are always of two aspects, the objective aspect and the subjective aspect. We have to be clear that all the objective doctrines are for the subjective experience. If we pay attention only to the objective doctrines and neglect the subjective aspect, we will not be able to fulfill God's eternal purpose, which is that he be expressed through the church. The objective doctrines are for the subjective truths, and the subjective truths are for the producing of the church. The practical church life is an issue of our experience of the subjective truths. When we have the experience of the subjective truths, the church is spontaneously produced. Furthermore, all the subjective truths are linked to the Spirit and life. The Spirit and life are the substance of the subjective truths. If you take away the Spirit and life, there will be no subjective truths. Objective doctrines are composed of letters, whereas subjective truths are constituted with the Spirit and life, not with letters. Without the Spirit and life, you do not have subjective truths. Therefore, it is by the Spirit and life that the church is produced. Because we live by the Spirit and in life, we have the experience of the subjective truths, and therefore have the church life. Concerning God, there are two sides in the revelation of the Scriptures. Objectively speaking, first, God is God. He is the God who is above in the heavens with glory and majesty. Second, he is our Creator. Third, he is the Sovereign Master. Fourth, he has become our Redeemer. Fifth, he is our Good Shepherd, and we are his flock. The shepherd loves the sheep, and the sheep also love the shepherd. Nevertheless, to the sheep, the shepherd is objective. Sixth, he is our master. He owns us, and we serve him. However, in the Scriptures, there is also the subjective aspect concerning God. First, God is our Father. This is subjective because he has given us his life and nature. Second, he is the life-giving Spirit. As the Spirit, he enters into us just like air. This is also subjective. Third, he is our life. It is only by coming into us to live in us subjectively and to be mingled with us, that he can be our life. Fourth, he is light. In the scriptures, this light is called the light of life. This is not an objective light outside, but a subjective light inside. Fifth, he is our breath. Sixth, he is our living water and food to be taken into us. All these are subjective. Yes, on the objective side, he is the Lord in heaven, who is above all, and who is dignified and great with majesty and glory. However, on the other side, this Lord is actually in me, speaking to me, fellowshipping with me, walking with me, as well as supplying, supporting, and comforting me all the time. When I am empty within, he fills me. He is truly my life within, and he is my inward supply. This subjective viewpoint tells us over and over again that God is not only the God who is high above, rather, he is in us today to be our breath of life, our living water, and our nutritious food. He does not want to be merely high and great. Rather, he desires to come into us to be our enjoyment. The more we enjoy him, the more joyful he is. He is in us. He is one spirit with us. We have his life, nature, and essence.